What's up, guys? We're back. Another episode of Barbells and Banter. We did a full Q&A this time, and we got into them relatively quickly, so you don't have to go through the typical, you know, these days 30, 40, 50 minutes of banter. We got into it pretty quickly. We recapped the Formula One. If you're a Formula One fan, listen in on that. If you're not, skip straight to the questions. We'll get Tam to timestamp it and get into them. They're all about training, bodybuilding, nutrition, etc. Thank you so much for getting those in. Really helps us get the content really dialed into what you guys want to hear and want to see. So keep them coming in over the next weeks, and we'll do another Q&A really shortly. Perfect opportunity to hit the subscribe button. It does so much to help us get the message out to other people like yourself. So please do that now. Like, share, comment. Get the message out to as many people as we can. And thank you so much for your support. Okay, let's get to the episode. You don't watch the news.
I don't.
So I only watch the news because of YouTube.
Yeah.
So a ship smashed into the Baltimore Bridge, one of the pylons, bro, dropped the bridge in like 30 seconds. The whole bridge. I swear.
Jesus.
It was lucky it was 1:30 a.m. Not lucky, because there's still people that
are
like, you know, trapped and shit.
Fuck.
You should see this ship, bro. It taps one of the pylons.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing just goes. It's actually terrifying.
Fucking hell. That engineer is getting fired.
I can't believe how quickly it went down. It was like something out of a movie. Yeah. It's insane.
That should not happen, man.
Yeah, I've watched it so many times.
Should not happen.
In disbelief.
Like one impact should not.
Mm. There's a bit of weight on that ship, though. Like,
yeah, but
it's a bit of inertia going into that.
Fuck.
I don't understand how you miss. Like, was that deliberate?
Yeah.
Like, he had the whole, like, cause, you know, it's like,
yeah.
They've got the gaps. Like, you pick the middle, bro.
Yeah.
I get it. It's harder to drive a ship than, you know.
Yeah, they don't exactly turn on a dime.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's wild.
Yeah. And
that would ruin your day.
I woke up to, have you seen this Huberman witch hunt going on?
Nah.
Yeah, so.
There's an official one now, isn't there?
There's an official witch hunt, yeah. So apparently, there's some, like, he's a bit of a womanizer.
Right.
Apparently he's had a few
We're cancelling him now.
Well, he's had a few women on the go, apparently.
Yeah.
So they've all bound together.
What a surprise.
They've all bound together to go after him.
Right.
And try and, demean his character.
Got it. Is he, like, these stories always, like,
I find it hilarious.
Yeah. I'm like, was he just hooking up with a bunch of chicks?
Yeah.
Or was he like...
Well, apparently, you know, they all thought that, like...
Or they were the one.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
One... I don't know. There's like STIs in it and all this shit.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah. Well, I don't know. And then, yeah.
That's why he has to put his arsehole in the sun every morning.
I don't know if that's him or not.
I don't know anyone
to come for me, but I just thought it was entertaining.
It's called humor, guys. It's called humor.
I woke up this morning and... There's just a lot of goss going on.
There's a lot of people that really, really like him, though.
Yeah. He's a very good speaker.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think if you talk, articulate yourself well enough.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the neuroscientist thing, like, people are just like, ooh.
He's
like,
smart, man.
People don't even understand what neuroscience is.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, so then they're like, that's a golden ticket to talk about anything. Like, I saw something, he was talking about, like, training or something. And, like, he just, like, I think he referenced, like, some basic anatomy and it was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, but no one would care because they don't know
he's
themselves.
A smart guy, yeah.
Neuroscientist.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked someone that I really respect in their field about something. And he was like, oh, yeah, Huberman has heaps of that. And I was like, oh, I respect you a little less.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't really look into the stuff,
I don't like the secret idea.
I can't comment, if I'm being super honest, because I don't dive into bullshit.
I've seen too many things that... other people have been like, nah, bro.
The biohacking, anything biohacking to me,
danced
on the borderline of like charlatanism, if that's even a word.
Yeah, and that, like, the anti-Huberman crowd is definitely labels him as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of things like that.
Yeah, I just like fucking the basics, man. Do the fundamental
shit
right.
But there's some stuff that'll work, like, it's like... the sun exposure and waking up and all that shit. Like, you know, it's just the lower hanging fruit. That stuff will work.
Yeah.
No problems.
Yeah.
But you can't talk about that for the rest of your life.
Agreed.
So you go a bit crazy.
Yeah. Where do I go now? How do I get on the next pod?
Yeah. You gotta start.
It must be hard to like sustain that hay at the top?
I feel like the
like
more...
to continue to have new ideas and shit.
But like, if you think about it, that's the only way to stay relevant. And that's why I think some people fall out is because, like, I was talking to boys the other day and I'm like, you can't just post like a bent over row anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be...
Yeah.
Like, I saw a dude, can't remember his name now. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. He had a landmine press.
Yeah.
And then he had a split squat stand.
Yeah.
And then he had a plate and then he was doing split squats holding the landmine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I just sent it to the boys. I'm like, would you ever set this up?
Yeah.
And they're just like, fuck no.
No, just hold the dumbbell.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, could you not just hold the dumbbell and like go from one side to the other?
Yeah.
And then could you not just like contralaterally load that as a Bulgarian and then just do a B-stance RDL with your foot pushed against the wall and contralaterally load that too? I said, you could probably do both those exercises in the time it would take
to set it up.
To set up, do your sets,
yeah,
and pack your shit up.
Yeah.
So you can't do that anymore.
Yeah. It's because
you couldn't just do the, like, if you set the other two exercises up.
Yeah.
Like, people are just like, oh, no, it's cool because he's got all this stuff together.
Yeah.
But you can't do that at 6 p.m. at the gym.
Agreed.
Like, probably, I can't even do that at the gym that I train at.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the landmines.
The space, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's in a spot where I could never even consider setting that up. Yeah.
Yeah, it must just be...
So, it's just... like
being novel is really challenging, and novel is the currency at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's...
Yeah, because even that Dr. Rhonda Patrick...
Yeah. Rhonda.
I'm always like worried I'm going to say Danica Patrick when I'm like, it's not the race car driver. It's the other one. It's the doctor.
It's Rhonda.
I was super impressed with her on Modern Wisdom because it was like, take fish oil. It's just like...
Have you got your fish oil yet?
No.
Maybe we'll go after this because we've got time.
Let's do it.
I'll give you an ice pack. Take it home.
Yeah, I've got one.
Just wrap it around.
With my chicken and vegetables in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's that for us was like a novel reminder. Like, hey, I used to do that every fucking day and I don't do it. But for other people, obviously, it's the first time they've heard it. But then how long can you talk about the supplements that actually work, the protocols that actually work? Like, she went into all these like HIIT training protocols and stuff. And I was like, eh, no one's really going to do that. But they were good, but like, no one's going to do it.
What were they for?
Just raising. So like
BDNF or some shit.
Talking about long. So she's not a lifter. Like, she's clearly like a scientist who's just like, I think she's just got a PT and is like learning weight.
So it's just a matter of time until she gives out hypertrophy advice as well, right?
100%.
Like every other small scientist.
Yeah. So because she's like in the research area, it's more like preservation of muscle in the elderly. And so she used the term hypertrophy quite a few times. And I was like, they mean different things to us. Like, it's high intensity cycling for the hypertrophy benefits. And I'm like, maybe if you're 65.
Yeah, I think I read they did studies with like, sprinting with resistance.
Yeah.
To see if it like preserved or built muscle. I was like, okay.
When you're 60, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it probably would. Look at cyclist legs, but.
Yeah, it just wasn't.
I'm not. For us. Yeah. Yeah, that's not. Practice in the gym.
But yeah, it's like. She just the old, almost like Wingate models and stuff. The whole thing was longevity, so muscle mass, VO2 max.
Yeah.
How to test your VO2 max as well, which I thought was interesting. I'd actually like to do it.
You got to have the mask on the...
So, apparently there's a flat run test that you can do.
Yeah.
But it brings into question that you get better at running.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't run, you do a flat run test, and then you run to bring up your VO2 max. You're just better at running, so your VO2 max improves exponentially.
Doesn't the actual VO2 max machine... continue to get faster and faster and we did one of those at uni. I actually did it. This was back when I was fit.
Yeah, when you were 70 kilos.
I actually was. I was about 73.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, how funny that I have to read this out. So we talk a lot of places about me vomiting when Jace used to train me.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
And now we give advice to personal trainers, be like, don't ever make your clients spew. Like that's they don't want that. So the 26th of March 2012.
Yeah.
So 12 years ago, bro. First session is Facebook. First session back with a PT in 6 months.
It's all that.
Needed to lift my leg sessions to a better level. 8 sets in, vomit. Completed another 3 sets, ready to vomit again. Looking forward to the Doms the next few days. The top comment, Jason Galea, you're welcome. Yeah, buddy. And I think it was basically just that for 3 months.
Yeah. Squat, legs got bigger though.
Squat, lunges, deadlift.
Squat, deadlift, lunges.
Weighted vest, maybe like one set of weight vested lunges.
Yeah.
Throw lunges. Up.
Yeah.
Do the rest of the lunges, leg extension, go home.
Yeah. Good as quad session.
Yeah. I still don't have big legs.
He just didn't persist long enough.
Yeah,
man.
Maybe. Maybe I'm just not training to vomit now. Yeah. Enough.
Fuck. I don't know. The only time I'll train and think about vomiting now is if I'm like super anxious.
I've overshot the caffeine.
Yeah, just like life is just too much and I'm like.
Yeah, I've reached some kind of threshold. Yeah. I don't know what it is,
bad,
but I've reached some kind
sleep,
of threshold.
Bad sleep, high blood pressure, done a set of squats, just.
Too much stress.
Absolutely. Have you, how's your training going?
Good. Missed one day last week.
Where are we at?
But otherwise, great.
One day, yeah. So you did 3 days. Is that because we went to the Formula One?
Yeah, and I had a funeral on Monday
make it
as
up.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, do I do a double session or just accept my fate?
What are your thoughts on the double sesh? The old double sesh. If a client asks you if they miss a sesh, like, would you allow them to? Because they're asking you for permission. It's not.
I think it's probably more, my thought process was it's actually probably going to fuck up next week more.
Absolutely.
So I'm just not.
Yeah. One of my clients asked me the other day and I just really knew he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And I kind of just traded off like his sanity for.
Yeah.
So I just said, look, acutely go for it. I said, maybe just don't do like legs and then back the same day.
Looking back at it. Because it was one of the days that I was like, I'll be able to train, and it just didn't play out. Looking back at it, I should have split the extra workout that I was going to miss across 2 other days.
Yeah, that's what a few of my other clients did.
Yeah, especially like the shoulders, arms day. Like,
yeah,
I
just do shoulders with chest and then arms with fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just said if it's like chronically you're missing that workout, I'm like, we just need to change your program.
Yeah, because I'll do that if I'm time limited. Like sometimes I'm like, fuck, I got to go. Yeah. I'll do that in the next... Like if I got a superset left or whatever, I'll do that in the next session.
Yeah.
So I had to do some rows and curls before my chest session yesterday. Because I had a meeting I had to get to.
Mm. Just going to get shit done.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Work done in the week.
Yeah. Love that. What did you think of the Formula One?
Race was...
Let's start at Friday.
Friday was really fun.
So we went Friday.
Yeah, it was really fun. Had a great day.
It was a good day.
Yeah.
It exceeded my expectations.
Agreed.
Because I was like, ground pass. Like, fuck, we're not going to have like anywhere to see the track. It's going to be shit. That's what I was saying in my head.
Yeah. Even when we sat down the first time, like, this is our spot. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to sit here for like 4 hours. It's going to be shit. But actually, had a good time.
Yeah. Good. We kind of lucked out on the other side of the chicane, if I'm being honest.
And then when we moved, that was a dope spot.
It was real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. Would I get grandstand tickets next time? Probably still would.
Absolutely.
But I would be more accepting, particularly like the sport categories, to miss not being in my seats for F3 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I fall in love with F3.
Right.
Anytime it's on, I'm going to watch it now.
Okay.
It's fucking awesome.
Is that because the cars are loud or?
Well, that helps.
Yeah. They're very loud.
They're so loose, man. They're chaos. Yeah. So I watched both the races, and there's literally not a corner on the track every lap that there's not an overtake.
Mm.
I was like, this is the most...
Isn't it like 30 cars as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so exciting. So I think if you can get invested in a driver or some drivers, it'll be
good.
Elite.
Yeah.
Just very impressed with that.
Yeah, Friday was good.
Yeah. Dinner was good. The tram ride wasn't too bad. Only wanted to fight one guy. It's pretty good.
Comparatively, we're always going to think of the year before.
Yeah, which was so standing in the rain for an hour and a half.
We could have walked to Crown and it would have been better.
Yeah. But yeah, what were we out for? Like 12 hours in public and I only hated one human. It's a pretty good day.
Yeah. He was easy to hate though.
Get off you. Oh yeah, that guy too. Actually.
I was
the guy on the phone. Yeah. I hate people. Like, fucking just obnoxiously loud on the phone on public transport, especially when it was like we're in like sardines. It wasn't.
You know what gives me the not the ick, but you know what I don't like? What's that? Is you know when people talk at their phone?
Yeah.
And it's on loudspeaker?
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, bro, just put it to your ear. Yeah. Like, have the external rotation and the shoulder strength to hold your fucking...
Too much bicep pump.
How heavy do you think this is? Like, what, 500 grams?
Yeah, too maybe? Much bicep pump.
It's like they can't hold the phone fucking to their ear for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
It's like, put some headphones in. I don't want to hear your fucking conversation.
Yeah, sort it out.
And it's always old people yelling at their phone.
Yeah. Get your life together. And they're probably on FaceTime with the camera facing the roof anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Does me.
The race was... I know last year I was fanboying Max's domination just from like a... This is a person at an elite level so far above the other elite level humans that this is incredible.
Mm.
But I didn't really know I was a big fan until the car broke on Sunday. And I was really sad about it. I was like, oh, I'm actually a Max fan. I'm not just...
Not an ounce of sadness.
I'm not just like a appreciative of his success. I actually am a fan.
The only reason I would have been mildly upset is because I just wanted to see how good the SF24 is against... The Red Bull.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was just like, latest, bro.
Yeah.
Cars break, mate.
Too bad, so sad.
Like, last time a car blew up, it was a Ferrari win. We'll take it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Did you see the every time Carlos wins a race, George crashes out? Mm. That's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't like George.
I thought the race was good. I think Formula One needed it. He won 9 races in a row, man.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, it's boring.
I don't know. So I follow so much. Like, my Explore page is basically Formula One at this point. It's nothing else. So, I read heaps of memes and actual content and stuff. And the people are obviously put in, they're like, oh, it's so boring. I'm like, if you think it's boring right now, you haven't watched Formula One in the last 20 years.
Yeah, well...
Because, like...
Mercedes winning every...
Yeah, but it's like everyone else sucked too. And there was no... It was like... Fucking 8 out of 10 rounds, it would be like Ferrari, McLaren, like both drivers.
Yeah.
Both drivers. And then the next team, and then the next team, and the next team. And it'd be the same the next week.
I think it's still good. I think where it still differs, though, like obviously there's less races and there was probably more winners, like the change in winners. So, like the constructor would just kind of first, second.
Yeah.
Red Bull's just been like light years ahead. So, because as a sport, they're going to want to lean into the casual spectator more because there's more of them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think it was just good to see another team win.
Yeah. People who are interested in who wins the race, it's boring. I get it.
Yeah. And it was a good story. Like, you know, he had his appendix out, he missed the race,
gangster.
Comes back, fucking wins.
Yeah. You know? And he doesn't have a drive.
And he's unemployed next year.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
So, yeah. I enjoyed it. And because Ferrari could still botch it at any minute, didn't matter how...
He was still stressed.
It didn't matter how far ahead Carlos was. I was just like, please don't fuck this up. Like, when he went into the pits, I was like, they're just going to forget a tyre or something.
Yeah. Like, it's the new Fred Ferrari, mate. They don't seem chaotic anymore.
They're a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. They don't...
Bring them forward, their upgrades too.
Very un-Ferrari of them at the moment.
It's good.
What was your...
Maybe they have a French team principal.
Yeah, maybe. And the French team sucks, ironically.
Yeah, true.
So, we'll explain the situation for the non-Formula One fan. So, on Friday afternoon, the Williams team, every team has 2 cars, 2 drivers.
Yeah.
Most teams have a primary driver, particularly in the lower echelon. The primary driver is like the gun. And then in motorsport, you actually pay for your seat.
Mm.
So, like the second guy usually... pays a shitload for the seat and funds paying the primary driver and the rest of the team in the operation. So, Alex Albon bins it. Hits a curb, car bottoms out.
He's the primary driver.
Fires him into the wall. Car's fucked.
Yeah.
Don't have a spare. Yeah. Don't have a chassis that they can use and the chassis got a hole in it, which basically means there's no point even rolling it out. It's done.
Yeah.
So, we've only got 1 car left for the weekend.
And we all joked... that they should give it to Alex.
So, what ended up happening was old mate, poor old Logan Sargeant, booted out.
Yeah, had to give his car to...
Give your car to Alex, please, sir.
Yeah.
And watch from the sidelines this weekend.
It's a dog move.
I know your initial reaction was that.
And it's still a dog move regardless, right? The only thing that Logan can't, like, has to reflect on is that he had a really bad year last year.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why...
It's cost him.
That's the reason why Williams took the car off him.
Like, yeah.
He crashed way too much. So they gave the car to their better driver. So it's still a dog move. And like Max said, he's just like jokingly said, like, if that was the case, I would have binned my car too.
So no one could drive. Yeah.
But it's still, I can see why, because it's money, it's points, it's this. But it's just like, you crashed your car, bro. Like, that's my stance on it.
So I think the weird thing with Formula One is you have the Drivers' Championship, which the drivers care about, and most of the fans care about the most.
Yeah.
It's like, just care who wins, right?
The real fans care about the Constructors' Championship.
So the teams, so there's a prize pool that gets divvied up based on, all the TV money gets divvied up based on where you finish in the Constructors. So you finish last, you get the least, finish first, you get the most.
Which is millions of dollars.
Unless you're Ferrari, and then you get 5%.
You get paid more.
Anyway,
because they've been around forever.
Because of historic relevance or some bullshit. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Need that money, bro.
They fucking do. And they still can't win.
Got to pay Lewis.
Yeah. So, I looked it up and it was a $10 million difference between 7th and 8th last year, which was Williams and AlphaTauri. And the split was 3 points.
Yeah.
Williams scored 28 points for the year. AlphaTauri scored 25. Of those 28 points, Logan scored one.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think
Alex didn't get any points.
He didn't score points anyway, but it's like, fuck.
Fuck, the Haas team got in 9th and 10th. Anyway.
Yeah. We need to do questions. But yeah, I was...
F1 talk is over.
I was like, nah, fuck him.
Yeah. I know.
It was the only choice they had.
I know, it's still a dog move.
Yeah.
It's still a dog move.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Apparently, the Aussie crowd cheered because they showed Logan on the big screen.
Yeah, because
they all cheered.
That's a real Aussie thing,
100%
though.
100% it is. The
underdog.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
They probably hate Alex for no reason.
Yeah, they hate Alex and Max. And they cheered. Yeah. Probably cheered when Max went out.
Yeah. I found it very funny that he was still first with his car, like the handbrake was on.
Yeah.
Like, still first for a bit. It's like...
Yeah. Wow. I was like, when the overtake happened, I was like, how has he just driven around him?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I saw the smoke and I was like,
this car's real quick.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so it took you 3 laps to pass when he had a brake on the whole time.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Anyway. All right, quick break in the episode, guys. Just wanted to talk about coaching. So we at STC Fit are committed to taking your body composition, training, performance, your health and well-being, all to the next level. Our experienced team of coaches are ready to help you get the most out of yourself. You don't just have to be a powerlifter or a bodybuilder or an athlete. You just need to be somebody who knows that you have a lot of potential and want to reach it. And you can join the team by heading to the website, submitting a coaching inquiry form, and one of our coaches will get in touch with you. All right, let's get back to the episode.
All right, so I actually have... lots of questions. Like, we're not going to get through all these. I have like 20 questions.
Oof. All from the IGs?
Yeah. IGs and...
Thanks, fam.
Prompting the fellas. So, obviously, they're all about bodybuilding. So,
okay, cool.
Which is great. Because this is a bodybuilding podcast
now. I'll make it relevant for everyone else.
No, this is a bodybuilding podcast now. You do bodybuilding, I do bodybuilding.
Well, that's true. It's true.
So, I'm pretty henched. I'll bring the theme to what I've always wanted. I had to omit some of the questions, though, because they were like...
Too much.
Incriminating shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them was like, what's the most illegal thing you've ever done? I'm like, I'm not answering that.
No. What's the most illegal thing your friend has ever done?
I'm not answering that. Anyway. So, we're going to start from the top and work our way down. So, the first question is, it's confusing to know whether I should lift heavy and do low reps or lighter... with high reps to build muscle, what should I do? Help.
Okay. So, I think we talked about this like last week.
I feel like we're always going to talk about it, eh?
The terminology is weird, right? This terminology is really common of like lightweights, high reps, heavyweights. Like, you should be lifting to a very close proximity of failure all the time.
Yeah, agreed.
So it's like heavy or light, like you're always lifting heavy in relative to the set.
Yeah.
There will be less weight for 10 than there is for 5, but its relative weight is heavy because you can't do any more once you get to 10.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing to quantify.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Then, should you lift? So, intensity, when we talk about programming or weight training, intensity is actually how close you are to your 1RM. Mm. So, that's how heavy the load is. So, should we do a more intense style of training in terms of more load, which means we do less reps, which probably means we do less net volume over the week? Or should we do still training close to failure, but at a lower intensity load wise and probably do more of it?
Yeah.
That's boiling down the question.
Yeah.
I would say, and I think what we settled on last time was, whatever one you are willing, able to put the most effort in will give you the best return.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think if like you said, muscle building potential is very similar from the low rep range to the high rep range. It's providing you train to close to failure. You then take personal preference in as well. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to take in like the cost benefit of the density of high rep and low rep work as well. So like low rep work, which is heavy, if you're a good lifter, you'll get a really good return on your effort because the reps are highly stimulating from the first rep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So say we're doing like sixes.
Yeah. I think we should define what low rep is too, because under 5.
Yeah.
If that's what this person's definition of low rep is, like, nah.
Yeah.
Get really strong, probably not great for hypertrophy because trade-offs are too high.
Yeah. I think low rep work, I would probably put around 5 to 8.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially because in like traditional bodybuilding, you can go upwards of like 20 reps. So, agreed. You know, 5 to 8 is low compared to... So, because you're a proficient lifter, you'll be able to get a really good return on rep to rep because the weight is high and you're able to move in a way that's stimulating the tissue as much as possible.
Yeah.
So, that's really effective because you don't have to do as much. Mm-hmm. Or you may not have to do as much, sorry. The trade-off to that is obviously the sheer force of moving the load does have fatiguing effects on like your joints and your connective tissue. So the sum of how much heavy loading you may be able to do could affect the overall kind of like fatigue on the system. So that's when you may either do it in the workout or just like in blocks where you would go to high rep work, because higher rep work can stimulate the muscle tissue more, but it doesn't necessarily bang up the connective tissue and the joints as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, like I think that's where personal preference and then just making sure like you're looking at the overall kind of, I guess, like stimulus and fatiguing elements of the rep ranges and the lifts that you do too.
Yeah.
That would influence how much of it you would do.
Yeah. Just anecdotally, say from the same time frame, you put on 25 kilos. I put on 25 kilos.
Yep.
Probably in the same time frame from like 2018.
Yep.
I did it from powerlifting. You did it from higher rep training.
Yeah.
So it shows that both work.
Absolutely.
So you can, whatever one you prefer, train really hard, eat in a surplus consistently, and you'll get the outcome you want. I guess the difference of the outcome at the end of that was just like you had a aesthetically balanced physique.
Yeah, and yours
and
is
I had a powerlifting physique.
Yeah.
So it's like in terms of the muscle mass built similar.
Mm.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only other caveat I'll leave with is if you value strength, you'll have to do lower rep. Like as in if you value top end strength.
Yeah.
And like I don't really see the value in like 1RMs for bodybuilders. I get it that it's exciting to see how strong you can, you know, how much weight you can lift and how strong you are, but there's other, you know, kind of skill adaptations that come with like being able to express the top end strength for one rep. But if you do value being stronger,
yeah,
you're going to have to do lower rep training to a degree.
I think the more advanced you get, the more dangerous that becomes.
Absolutely.
So, like, if I was to take you, for example, it's like you and I can't just go to the gym and be like, hey, let's fucking test out the bench press.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're going to break because you're too fucking strong.
Yeah.
Like, when you're not strong, it's like, hey, let's go test our bench press, see if we can get two plates, bro.
Mm.
It's like, you're going to fucking put up, having looked at your last bench, like, we change your setup, you probably bench 150 for a single.
That sounds pretty good. Let's do that.
So, it's like that.
Yeah.
There's, and then, okay, so cool, but the refinement of the skill involved to not get hurt doing that is a fine line.
Absolutely.
And then because you're so strong, an inch matters.
Yeah.
And it becomes a real problem. Yeah. So I think the further down that timeline you get, the more conscious and planned you have to be around transitioning into, say, ultra low. If we're calling low like 5 to 8, like that's bodybuilding low. If we're going ultra low, testing threes, even down to singles, there's a huge skill element in the load demand within that you're going to have to consider to not get fucked up.
Yeah, agreed. How much does running or other activities actually affect your strength and muscle growth?
That is an unquantifiable question.
Yeah, I from what I saw, it, the frequency and the duration, actually, let's just peel it back. Fuck the studies. Let's just go with what makes sense.
Yeah.
If you run more than you weightlift, it's going to affect your strength and muscle. That's
100%, yeah.
If you put as much energy and effort into your running as you do into your weight training, it's going to affect your strength and muscle mass.
Yeah.
If you don't put as much effort, and I mean physical energy expenditure, into your cardio as you do into your weight training, it's not going to affect your strength and muscle mass as much.
Yeah.
I think that that's the easiest way to describe it. Like I speak to a lot of people and they're like, I'm like, are you a runner or are you a bodybuilder?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, I'm a bodybuilder. I'm like, cool. So you do 5 days of weight training and you might do 2-3 days of cardio, and that cardio is walking. So if you didn't do the walking on the treadmill and you just had to walk to get water or food or whatever, would you still call it cardio? No. Okay. So that's not really going to affect. But it's like if you're running 5, 10, 15 Ks, 20 Ks a week, that is going to affect your muscle building and strength potential to a degree.
Yeah. I think it also depends on the client. So Jess and I trained for a 5K at the same time.
Yeah.
Jess is, at the time, was 63 kilos.
Yeah.
I was 93 kilos. The impact on our gym sessions was markedly different.
Yeah. She's a great case study because, like, she did the hybrid training and then she just did the powerlifting.
Yeah.
And, like, way more jacked.
100%.
With no cardio.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So even just as an anecdote, it's like...
Yeah.
It makes more sense. It's like if you just go all in on one adaptation, you're going
to
get the
maximum. I think you need to decide what. Jess is the perfect example because it's like Jess benched 72.5 and deadlifted 150, running 2 to 3 times a week and doing those lifts like once, twice a week. And the rest of her program was like jumps, medicine balls, some dynamic shit, plus some heavy lifting, plus some volume work.
Yeah.
She looked great. She was very strong. And I think she ran a 5K in sub 25.
Yeah.
Just fucking quick. So it's like, that's impressive to be able to do all of those things. Mm. Weekend just gone. We were going to try for 80 had the day gone differently.
Yeah.
But she hit 75 basically fucking feet up, essentially, because we had to change her stance. And then deadlift 160.
Yeah.
So she added 10 kilos, 5 kilos to the bench press, 10 kilos to the deadlift, just focusing for 12 weeks on doing those things.
Yeah.
So do that exponentially over a year, over 2 years, over 3 years, outcome-wise becomes really different.
Mm.
Does she still progress in strength in the other model? I would say so.
Yeah.
I'd say there was still room for us to improve on that. Slower rate and the potential top end is not going to be the same.
Mm. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, I think because people be like obviously yelling at their phones being like, well, you know, you're saying don't do any cardio at all. Absolutely not, because you can increase the benefits of your cardiovascular training through a higher frequency and smaller density,
yeah,
and that wouldn't have a really big impact as long as the effort is, you know, kind of controlled.
I think running creates this untold variable, because running's actually really skill-based.
Yeah.
And if you shit at it,
oh yeah,
it's actually really taxing.
Yeah.
Like
it's like doing a bad bench press, but you do 1,000 reps of bench.
Yeah.
So if you do 1,000 reps in session and they're bad.
Oh, shit.
Your elbows and your wrists and stuff, your shoulders hurts. Are fucked.
Yeah. And like even heart rate wise, like my heart rate used to sit like when I first came out of powerlifting to running, even the 5K that I did, it was like 185 beats for the whole time.
It's so high.
Yeah. Like I was fucking dying.
I mean, I haven't checked mine in a while, but it's like that's fucking hard.
I was struggling.
Yeah.
So that as like you can't just say how much does running impact training, because it's like, doing that for 30 minutes, go in and do that on an exercise bike.
Yeah.
Like that's hard work for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Versus maybe Jess is sitting around 140.
Yeah.
Because she's efficient with her running. She had a better metabolic base. She was lugging 35 kilos less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's so dependent on who, what your skill set is around running, what your fitness level, base fitness level is.
Yep. And I think I already mentioned the intensity. Like I did see some stuff where like if you do high intensity and proper high intensity training, like it'll affect your weight training performance to the level of like there's fatigue and you won't be able to recruit as much like muscle fibers.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be neural, right? Like,
correct. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like some to do like the central motor command and, you know, that innervates obviously the motor units and stuff. And there's a sequence of motor units that get innervated at a time. And then like once the fatigue amounts, it just shuts down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these motor units that get innervated, it just takes it down a notch.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. So, and that makes sense because it's so intense. So it's like if it's lower intense, and if you look at like what bodybuilders do the most, because the question was strength and muscle, they walk.
Yeah.
So it's like the lowest intensity of, you know, kind of activity.
Yeah. Even like
considered. Well, it's aerobic, I guess, because it's rhythmic. And
we had the Rober boys on, and like Lewis is big on like training zones.
Yeah.
So it's like a zone for the heart, a zone for the lungs, and a zone for the muscle. So like the highest output is for the muscle, and then I think it's lungs, and then I think it's heart under that.
Yep.
So, like, cardiovascular health for a bodybuilder, particularly a PED using bodybuilder is important, so walking is probably a good idea. And I was like, I can't even get into zone two, train the lungs kind of, because I'm not efficient or fit enough to get in it. And if I was going to do that, I have to sit on, and that's what I ended up doing, was on an air bike just to stay in that zone for a period of time. So I have made a formula. We've never really pushed it out for like hybrid programming. So I have metrics in my strength programming that assigns a fatigue score to an exercise.
Yeah.
And then you have a total allotment of call them points that you are allowed to, that you have available to you for the week in terms of recoverability.
Yeah.
So say like you have 100 points, and then a leg extension is worth 0.65 of a point, and then a back squat is worth 1 point.
Yeah.
I broke down like sprinting and running and different intensity levels, and I worked with Max and Carl from the Performance Hub on quantifying them. So for every K that you would run was like one set of a compound movement, so like 0.75. So similar, every kilometer was similar to like one set of a leg press, for example. So if you're running 5Ks, 10Ks a week, it's 10 less sets that you could potentially do. So if you are on that top end of like a lot of your clients, how far you're pushing that needle, as far as I can get the most out of them.
Yeah.
Adding running on top of that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're the average gym goer 3-4 times a week, training for an hour at a time, training 2 reps of shorter failure all the time, it probably will make no difference.
Nah, agreed. Yeah, definitely. Ooh, 2 questions in. Look at us go. How much muscle do you think you can put on after your initial newbie phase? So, like, initial newbie phase, how much weight did you put on? I think I put on like 10 kilos in the first year, maybe 5.
Yeah, I don't know.
5 to 10.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, because I started at like 68 and I got to 78 pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to 70 quick and it took way more effort to get to 75.
Yeah, I think I would just go with the same like 0.5 to 2% body weight per month, depending on your training age and your genetics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even now, like, you're not really putting on more than 1% of your body weight a month.
No.
If that, 0.5. That's why I like the 0.5. Just chuck the 0.5 in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 0.5 to 2%.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more, the further away to your maximum adaptive ceiling, and no one knows where that is, but there's just the theory of the maximum adaptive ceiling. So, the closer you get, the more gains you put on, or the more gains you get, the closer to that you are, which means that that would
slow down,
drop off the gain, the rate of progress drops off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you would have a higher rate of progress at the start, and then that would drop off. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's where the true lifters survive, when the gains are hard to come by.
Yeah. It's people that are interested in doing the thing, not the outcome.
Correct. And the ones, I think we said the other week, live the lifestyle.
Yeah.
All right. What do I do? Oh, okay. So I read two questions together and it sounded weird. What do I do when I go off plan on my diet?
Okay.
No, it's not a very loaded question. So my answer is just get back on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the, do you adjust the next day? Do you just get back on plan?
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, just getting back onto it as soon as possible is the best outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you go off plan on your diet a lot, then your diet sucks, or your goals do, and you just can't stick to it because it doesn't mean enough, or maybe you've been sold some
obligation.
Yeah, maybe you've been sold some bullshit that, you know, you're not supposed to be hungry when you're getting shredded or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you just keep going off diet because of that.
Yeah.
Or your goals are so shallow that you're not willing to kind of, you know, commit to them. So then I would look at those, but then if you just go off plan, like the goal is just get back on it. I don't know how valuable it is to like put yourself in a frame of mind where you have to, you know, kind of punish yourself or restrict yourself the day after. Like, if it doesn't happen often enough, it's too low of a, like the frequency's so low that it should be insignificant.
Yep.
Yeah. If you've got a time sensitive goal, so to all my competitors listening, if you go off plan, don't fucking go off plan. Nah.
what do I do if I go off plan? Fire myself.
If you go off plan, if you go off plan and your metrics don't move in the right direction, you're just eating less the next week to make up for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's
I don't want to. That's a really nice summary, and I don't want to convolute it, but it's almost like, let's put something sexy in. The only thing I'll do is like, if I proper eat like an asshole, I may fast for like half a day.
Yeah.
And that's just for digestion, not for anything else. Just like to get.
It's really, really leaning into the binge restrict cycle, guys.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Not ideal. But my stomach feels better if I do it.
How to have disordered eating on STC. Barbells and banter. Don't do that shit. Just don't go off your diet. Find a diet that works that you can commit to for a long period of time.
Agree.
Or find better goals that make you stick to your diet. When looking at, so you can tell the boys gave me these questions because these are all about bodybuilding. So when looking at building out physiques, what are some of the things you look for when assessing what the next thing a person needs?
Mm.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
How they look and respond is going to be the biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like I'm working with people that have already got a good training base under them. So they've probably developed most of the strength and just overall muscle size that they've, you know, can accrue just by getting through the newbie phase and being strong.
Yeah.
So from there, you're like, you have an idea of like that physique and what that person needs to put on or how they want to look too. Because the one thing that people don't take into consideration is some people don't want to look proportionate.
And that's, so that's why I didn't say anything. Because this is a very comp specific question in terms of you would assess the physique based on the criteria of
what
the judge is going to look at, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
If they're in a category, you have to work to a criteria.
Yeah.
But like, let's look at most of the females and who come to us now.
Yeah.
They want 70% of their muscle mass to be in their lower body. Yeah. It's like, that is not balanced.
Yeah, yeah. So I had a call with a girl yesterday. Great physique already, but was like, I want massive quads. I obviously want to, like, literally word for word was like, obviously want to keep building my glutes and I want shoulders.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. I'm not even going to be like, send me through so I can assess your physique. It's just like, what do you want?
Mm.
I want bigger quads, I want bigger shoulders, and I want my ass to keep growing.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what we're going to do. But if she was like, I want to compete, it's like, well, what you want needs to be cross-referenced to what the judge wants.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of different conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then from a programming perspective, like if you push focus in an area, some other things come, that it comes at a cost. I actually wrote a post about this. It's coming out on my Instagram. So you push volume and if you push volume, most of the time you'll push frequency because you can only put so much in one training session and keep the quality high. So you push one up, something has to give. And usually what we'll give is the stronger muscle groups. So if someone wants a bigger chest and back, usually they've got good legs.
Yeah.
So you'll peel the leg volume back maybe to one day a week.
Yep.
So you'll do that for an amount of time where you'll get the desired outcome, or you just need to peel back because the fatigue is surmounting to a point where we just any further and we're just overreaching or whatever, or under recovering.
Yeah.
So then you would maybe taper the primary focus and bring back up the other muscle groups that have had to take a bit of a backward seat.
Yeah.
Just so that, you know, you're not bashing that same, just that same muscle, but that same movement patterns,
connective
same
tissue.
Joints, same connective tissue. Like, you know, it's postural issues, functionality issues that can come from just doing the same exercises all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like, because this person's a coach.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we look at it.
So I'm going to flip it just so I feel involved.
You're a bodybuilder now.
Have a look at it from a strength lens as well. So say like you want strength and physique. Looking at the main thing that you sort of said was like they're already good lifters.
Yeah.
So I would be also looking at actually how they train.
Mm.
So obviously if they're looking to powerlift, it's like, what does your squat bench deadlift look like? It's a no-brainer.
Mm.
Like, how do we identify that? And then that's going to structure a lot of the, call it accessory work that we're going to select to then improve those those main lifts.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this in the squat, then we need to put you in this position and get you stronger or better at the skill through this kind of pattern. But then you can also see stuff in their physique that gives you clues that they don't train that thing very well. So I got one of my girls at the moment who gets pulled out of position off the floor in the deadlift quite a lot. And if you walk around behind her, it's like your lat development compared to almost every other muscle group is really lacking.
Lacking, yeah.
So it's like the way you're training that muscle group is not working. Whether it's right or wrong or whatever, it's like you're not getting the outcome from that right now. Was it a programming issue? Was it an execution issue? Was it both? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at either the lift first, you get clues. Like, you'll see what breaks down, you'll go, okay, I bet you train quads shit, or I bet you train back poorly, or whatever, just based on what's breaking down in the lift, or also just having a look at someone's physique, you can do the same kind of assessment and be like,
absolutely.
You've got insane fucking front delts. It's like, I'm going to say feel your pressing chest. Isn't, you're not setting up the feel way small that you chest. Need to be. Well, also that.
All right. So, I'm going to skip this next question because the one after that's funnier. It's not about training at all.
Quick break in the episode, guys. If you're looking for more information on how you can look, feel, and perform better, head over to our website, take advantage of all of the content that we have there, even the YouTube channel, there's plenty of videos and stuff on there. Also, rotating free resources that you guys can access completely free. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
So what are some relationship red flags?
Fuck.
I already know. I've already got one. So can I go first?
Yeah, of course you can.
All right. So if you're in a relationship and you don't post any pictures of your partner, but all you do is post like revealing shots of yourself,
Yeah.
That's a red flag for me, bro.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, imagine if, like...
I'm going to say the exact opposite as well.
But imagine if Amy was putting, like, you know, the ones, like, you know, like, say, she put something nice on. Yeah. And, like, you know, like, I'm not talking, like, just photo at the mirror, like, I'm dressed up, like, provocative, like, bit of cleavage. Like, if Steph was doing that shit, and I never, ever, like, featured on her Instagram, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what's his name?
Yeah.
Is he rich?
Yeah.
He's rich, is all right.
Yeah, it's like, that's the sign of, like, the breakup, usually. It's just like, oh, all of a sudden we have provocative, suggestive posts. I would say the exact opposite end of that spectrum is, like, fucking every single post day is like, love of my life, and you've known him for like 3
joint
weeks
Instagrams
shit.
Red flag.
Oh yeah. You fucked up.
Yeah.
You fucked
if
up.
You got joint social media,
you done
one of you has cheated on someone.
You done something. Or you cheated together to start the relationship.
Yeah. Or he's like, what are they called? You know, in like, I don't know, Steph, mate, there's terms to these things. You know when someone cheats but I don't touch anyone? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, like messaging shit.
Yeah.
Like that website, what's it called? The one that the women talk to the men, make them feel loved. Do you know, you don't know any of this shit?
No.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
I like my life.
Yeah, well, I've heard some stories.
Yeah.
What else?
There's so many.
Yeah. Not being able to spend any time by yourself.
Yeah.
Huge red flag.
Yep.
Yeah. You got to be able to, I'm doing
so
this.
So are we like dating and going, don't go there because it's a red flag? Or is like shit people do in relationships it's a red flag?
Let's send it.
What if all of the red flags?
Fucking huge
things
list.
We don't like. Okay.
Being able to go out with your mates and not get hassled. Both ways though. Like Steph can go out, no problems. Just actually, you know what? To be fair, I've pushed that a little bit though. Because there's been a couple of times where, like, you know, I'd be like 6 a.m. and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm at so-and-so's place, and I'm like,
yeah,
just letting you know. She's like, imagine if I did that to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that would not be fucking cool.
That wouldn't fly.
Like, stay out all night and then just get a message when you wake up, like, I'm at so-and-so's house.
Yeah.
So that's not fair.
Yeah.
But the, like, not letting people kind of have their own space and friends and, you know, it's like a long life, man. You know, you're going to be able to, you need to be able to do your own things and enjoy your own friends and their company without your partner sometimes is good, I think.
Yeah. I think demeaning your partner in public ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether they're there or not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a friend of mine do it to a friend of mine where they were just like, something was really important to them and it was like a computer game or something and they like mocked them for it in front of everyone and got everyone else to laugh at him for it. I was like, bro, like that's his, that shit just, can't be doing that.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that.
Yep. Yeah, it's not it.
Yeah. You gotta, supporting each other's other stuff, I think is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. You got any more?
Nah.
I feel like we could go for a while on that one, so we'll just leave it. So this leads on to the next one. Ah, this is a good question too. So it's very similar. So what characteristics in a mate do you find undesirable?
Undesirable.
Yeah. So mine, the first one is stupidity. So, what I mean by that is you should be able to have a good conversation with someone.
Yeah.
So if I can't have a good conversation with someone.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. And I was, let's say I was like, this person's attractive.
Yeah.
We go out for a first date or whatever.
I'm
the first time I met Steph.
Yeah.
And she was just not giving me much.
Yeah.
Ladies. That's a big one.
I'm just trying to work how to word this. I'm almost like judgmental to the point where if I feel like I can see that in the way that someone's put together, I'm like, eh.
What do you mean?
So, like, if someone sends me a mate of mine that we like, oh, look at her, whatever, on Instagram.
Yeah.
And she'll, like, send me stuff and I'm like, mid. And it's like a fucking 12,
so
bro.
You think she looks stupid? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just like, she's fucking annoying. Like, there's no, she's either stupid or she's high maintenance or like, you know what I mean? You could just tell.
Yeah. So, high maintenance is undesirable.
Bruh.
Yeah?
Bruh, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, it's gotten even worse now. Like, becoming a dad. Like,
yeah,
the type of women that I find attractive, even just in public, is so different.
Right.
It's so much more wholesome, bro.
It's hilarious.
It's not like, where's the 25-year-old in the scrunch bums?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she looks really nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so weird, bro.
No comment.
It's so weird. Yeah. I don't know if it'll change, if it'll come back.
I don't know, man. I feel like a good set of scrunch bums will turn your head.
Look, I'm still like, good job. Like, I'm not repulsed by
it. Get those away from me.
But it, yeah, it's just a different,
yeah,
a different a perspective to look at the world through.
You know,
because I think that's why the other ones, I'm like, yuck.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
Dennis has got me thinking about my head position on my, yeah, fuck you, Dennis.
Fucking Dennis. yeah.
You know what else I don't like? A lack of ambition.
Interesting.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Then I don't like, I'm not saying, so let me clear up what I mean before people come for me. Is you just need to be dialed in on things.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be work.
Yeah.
But you just need to be a person that like doesn't want to fucking just exist. I'm not a fan of that shit.
So I would frame that as not a victim.
Sure.
Or a sheep. Like that just goes about day to day and it's the fucking same and it's repetitive just and not, there's no growth and there's no...
You know what? Fuck it. They're just not for me. I don't care. There's other people that
are
like...
No, that's...
I'll take care of you. You know, other people be like, you know, there'll be like some dude with a God complex or just like...
Yeah.
He'll want to take care of like his mate with a lack of ambition.
Yeah.
I'm not about it.
Yeah.
And
so,
this question's for us.
Yeah.
So, fuck yous.
So, I'm... obviously setting up my entire existence life to have what is commonly referred to on the internet as a trad wife.
What's that?
So it's traditional wife.
Oh, role. Trad. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Fuck it out.
So single income, stay at home, raise the kids, do all that kind of stuff. So it's easy to be like, well, that's a lack of ambition, but it's like...
But it's not.
It's not because she wants... Yeah. Like,
but she's not... Like, that's different because, and I would like to think so, because there's still things that need to be done and had and said and whatever that, you know, you're not going to do.
Correct.
I just can't stand those fucking people that just do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And then the person that like does all the work, all the decision making, you know, all of the organizing and stuff like that has to then come home and still do everything.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you even fucking here? It's like, you baked the child and that's all you've done?
Yeah. And I think the same as like for both of us, I would say... We value, if we're in the same position we were a year ago, we're fucking miserable as people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm the same. So that ambition is like, are you improving as a person, as
100%.
A whatever it is you've chosen to pursue in your life, even if it's a hobby, is there something that's improving your character over that time?
Yeah, yeah.
If yes, I'm sweet.
Absolutely.
No issue. You don't have to be fucking squillionaire CEO or career driven. But driven by something.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people would like the opposite, and that's totally fine.
Yeah. It's wild, bro. Like,
Sometimes, like, because I see all the stuff Steph does, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, oh, I better put a load of washing on. I'm like, I've got to bring something there. Like, I've been riding this couch for a couple of days now.
Yeah.
Like.
I'm the 100% the food person in my, in my life.
Yeah. Like, work's pretty rough at the moment. So I'm just like, you got a lift, bro.
Yeah.
It's like you can't expect her to do these things.
Yeah.
It's like she's fucking working her ass off. All right. How do you lose body fat without losing muscle?
Eat enough protein, lift enough weight.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you train hard and you lift, like the train with the idea of how you built the muscle when you are losing body fat. It's the same. It's like... Yeah. You train close to failure. You don't necessarily have to train to fail all the time. And you're going to eat a high-protein diet. And those two things should negate a lot of it. Sometimes if people are using like record-keeping of body metrics, it will say even when you're in a cut that you've lost some muscle mass.
Yeah.
And that is because...
Being like DEXA scans and shit.
Yeah, yeah. And that is because... Your non-contractile protein is what they measure, and then they measure... Like basically, it's like fat mass and non-fat mass.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we still lose like collagen and, you know, water and fluid and proteins and stuff that aren't contractile, and that would suggest that you've lost,
you know, even just the amount of glycogen you would hold in the muscles.
There's just things that aren't fat mass that you'll deplete as well, and that kind of shows. So, but at the end of the day, the things that you can control is obviously like making sure you don't train, lack of a better term, too much. But yeah, training with a decent intensity and having protein and stuff should be fine.
Yeah. Don't drink alcohol also.
Yeah. And get enough sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big one actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get sleep guide, stcfit.com.
Yeah. No, there you go.
Go download it for free. That actually, you hit the mic. It sounded really good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nice. Who was your first bodybuilder you looked up to and wanted to look like?
Looked up to, Ben Pekulski, wanted to look like, Steve Cook.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Steve Cook. Let's turn it back the clock. Here, I'll turn it back the clock. I'm say Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I also, Sean Roden, but yeah. I'm self-aware.
Yeah. Jay is a man.
Yeah.
Six-time runner-up, four-time Mr. Olympia.
Yeah. I just like that Sean had abs. Like,
yeah.
Like pretty abs.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of the other bodybuilders.
I think the only reason why I like Jay is because he was on the hunt when I was aware of bodybuilding.
Yeah, he's the underdog.
So I was like, yeah, let's get him. Get that Ronnie guy.
Yeah.
Get him.
Yeah, I like Jay.
Yeah, I do too.
He reminds me of Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just liked how he had that video of like his partner like shaving his back. And then when I had to get Steph to do it to me, I felt like Jay Cutler.
I made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very, very different in terms of the look, but made me feel like Jay Cutler.
But we made it. Yeah. And he's like a skillionaire now.
Yeah, he's very good. Very
I would
smart.
Say he was the most financially
free bodybuilder.
Successful bodybuilder of all time.
Yeah.
Or Arnie.
Well, yeah, he's probably.
Yeah.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah. But Jay didn't have to become a celebrity.
Jay didn't have to. Yeah, that's it. He didn't have to do acting or politics. He just did.
Jay can walk down the street and only old, washed up people like us know who he is.
Team washed.
Yeah. But like, Arnold can't go anywhere.
I don't know if I should be happy or upset.
Sorry, bro. Threw you under the bus there.
I've just quit.
I came with you.
I'm not training today. Fuck it. I'm going to go get some fucking KFC. Eat my feelings.
Oh, delicious.
How are we doing for time? Who are you?
No idea. Tam didn't set it.
Ah, right. Sweet. A few more questions. All right. Do you think everyone needs to count calories and track macros?
For a period of time in their life, yes. Forever, no.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I think... how do I put this? If you're extremely overweight and you're new to fitness, I think you can get away with improving your habits and, you know, your eating frequency and the choices of your food, and focusing on the things you should do will take you away from the things that you were currently doing or were doing previously that were making you overweight and unfit.
Yeah.
So I think there will be a period of time that you can get away with that. And I know that because I've successfully, you know, helped other people drop in excess of 40, 50 kilos multiple times
without
tracking a single macro.
Yeah.
However, if you're in a normal body weight range and you're trying to get bigger, leaner, those kind of things, the wiggle room is smaller because the rate of loss is obviously not as high.
Yeah.
So then that's where refinement after a period of time is going to be your best friend, because you can still get away with it. But I think what comes, like everything comes at a cost. And the cost of not tracking your food and stuff is being burrowed to specific food groups that are low in calories and, you know, kind of high in nutrients and all that kind of stuff. But what happens is most of those people don't know how to consume foods that are calorie dense. Mm. And that's where it can be hard to, one, make progress, and two, have a really good psychology around eating those particular foods, even in small doses. So, and then obviously if you want the best results for your time and effort, you would want to track your intake in terms of calories and macros. Is going to maximize the return.
Yeah, so I've just had a couple from Perth. What did we do? 16 weeks, I think. Lost 11. He lost 11 kilos. She lost 8. And it's fucking so weird, bro. I went through their review. It's like 11 kilos, 11 centimeters off the waist, 11 centimeters off the hips, 11 centimeters off the chest. and then she was all eights.
It
was fucking so weird.
The fucking hippies are going nuts right now, man.
Angel numbers everywhere.
Yeah, get the crystals out. Fucking hell, mate.
It was weird. Anyway.
So much energy in those results, Ben.
So we introduced tracking for them.
Yeah.
They sort of lightly, but never really kind of committed to it. So they tracked for that entire period. And then Claire was kind of like, so they're going on a 16-week, I think, international trip. Fuck starting yeah. in Bali, going to Europe.
Hell yeah.
I don't actually know what the itinerary is, but they're going.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm like real anxious about not being able to track. And I'm like, well, you've done the work now. You're not going to try and lose weight while you're traveling. Go back to the base diet. And then every time you eat, have lots of protein.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. So it's like to create that change, tracking was really useful, but now you're going to do something where that's probably not going to be A, viable, B, healthy, like mentally. And if you're already like, I'm nervous about it, it's a good sign that maybe you shouldn't for a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think contextually for the people we work with, there's, like you said, this spectrum of controllability to be able to get an outcome, and macro tracking gives you the most ability to do that. Maybe a meal plan's even another stage, but I think macro tracking for most people is going to be gold standard.
Yeah.
The society at large, like you said, that person that's like obese and needs to lose weight and like you're just going to tell them eat better, move more, that kind of stuff. I just wonder if like tracking for 12 weeks would give you enough education in nutrition to positively influence you for the rest of your life.
Yep.
That it would still be of benefit to do it.
Yeah, I understand. So it's interesting you say that because I watched a video on YouTube. I wasn't researching, it just popped up.
Yeah.
There's this guy that's going to lose 100 pounds in a year and he doesn't track his calories.
Yeah.
And he was saying it was already hard enough to exercise, learn what foods to eat, learn how to weight train and make my new routine fit around that. That he said it felt like adding in that complexity at the start was too much.
You got it.
And he was like, this is worked without it.
Yeah.
So at some point he'll add it in once he stops kind of losing the weight or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting insight for some people.
Yeah. I just wonder like how many people think they're eating well.
Oh yeah.
And it's like the acai bowl and the fucking
fruit
muesli and the fucking scrambled eggs with a liter of like dad with the when we're like, bro, there's half a stick of butter in there. He's like, oh, really? Like, yeah, man. Like they don't make it like we do at home.
Yeah.
So just those little things of just the education side. Like it's almost like you don't even need targets. You just need to know that a maxi bond's 360 calories and that an acai bowl's 900.
Understood.
So when you think, like, I'm getting the good thing, or you hear, like, fruit is bad for you, it's like, well, an apple's 80 calories.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Like, I
think it's how the person's coached.
Yeah.
Because, like, our base diet is, like, two serves of fruit, five serves of veggies, which are 175 grams, I think, per serve. So you can have two.
Yep.
Serves per meal. Mm-hmm. And it's like palm-sized portion protein or palm and a half to two if you're a larger person.
Yep.
So we didn't even do male and female. We're like big person, little person.
Yeah.
And then it's like, this is where you want... Like, we never say don't.
Yeah.
We say do.
Correct.
And I think that's where the messaging is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because you can have the Maxibon,
mm.
but make sure you do all this and don't eat the Maxibon all the time.
Yeah.
Or if you do eat it all the time, it's fine. Are you getting results? Yes. Are you not? Maybe let's have a look at that.
Yeah.
You know. So
I really miss Maxi Bonds. I got banana paddle pops last night.
Yeah. I'm going to get paddle pops today. I'm out. I've got one left.
Is there a Chobani shortage everywhere and just in Gisborne?
Just in Gisborne. Mate, we're...
Both supermarkets, bro.
I've got Chobani all over me.
Did my click and collect? Don't ever do that again.
it's delivery.
I did my click and collect and no Chobani came. And then I went to IGA yesterday, support your local. And I had to get vanilla, bro.
All you hipsters out in...
Yes, I feel like the secret's just... I don't want to be disrespectful,
high
but
protein
maybe
hipsters.
Maybe it's a little bit behind.
Yeah.
Like when we say Chobani, like 5 years ago?
No, like 10?
Maybe news has made it to Gisborne that Chobani yogurt's the
Chobani goat. Is old, man. We've been eating Chobani for fucking years.
Yeah.
5 years is not. They've been around for way longer than that.
Yeah.
Five years is 2019. That's like that's pre-lockdown. Yeah. Like, dude, we ate Chobani well before that. Oh, I'll do one more question.
All right.
All right. I don't want to do that one. I don't want to do that one either.
Sorry. We will answer all of your questions. There's no such thing as a wrong question. Please submit.
No, no. I don't want to do it now because it's like...
At STC Fit. Send us DM.
These are all real long ones.
These will all go to the front of the next episode.
So, I don't...
We will get to your questions.
These are all really long.
Please keep submitting your questions.
All right. All right.
I can't do this much longer.
What's a realistic timeline for someone to transform their physique?
Oh, man.
Yeah, bro, these are all loaded. Loaded.
What does transform mean? You can look... You can look...
All right, so let's say...
You can look drastically different...
Hang on.
...in 12 weeks.
Hang on. Let's preface who's listening. Been training for probably a couple of years... They're probably 7 to 8% body fat higher than they would like to be. If you're a female, they're probably maybe 8 to 12 percent higher, you know, just relative.
Yeah.
They want that kind of, you know, we'll call it hard defined toned look, or someone wants a soft defined toned look, either way. Mm-hmm. They still want more muscle definition than they have.
Yeah.
And they still want more muscle development than they have. How long? Give me a timeline.
Muscle development changes is the answer to the question.
Huh?
The muscle development.
I want a timeline. I want one now.
Before you said that, before you said muscle development, 12 weeks.
I can give you a timeline.
12 weeks. Easy.
Yeah.
Look exceptionally different in that period of time.
I think if you do what you're told and you leave no stone unturned for 12 weeks, you could see a considerable transformation. Agreed. I think if your expectations are higher than what we described or... You don't respond in a manner that is really fast.
Yeah.
You need more time. 24 weeks should be enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're saying like, I want to build an exceptional amount of muscle, which is like, if you want to drastically be bigger and leaner, 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it, obviously the expectations skew the timeline and I totally understand that.
And just what transformation means.
You can be well ahead. You can be well ahead of the curve in 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
If you don't leave a stone unturned.
Yeah. Well, both of us are doing, aiming for like 12, 14 weeks to look marketably different.
Yeah. We'll see.
No?
As life's getting in the way.
When's the trip?
Oh, I haven't booked it yet. Okay. But it's June the 13th is when we have holidays.
Okay.
To put that in your fucking calendars.
Yeah.
I'm not here. It's like, do you have a holiday? I didn't book anything. I'm just not here.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's leave it there. Okay.
I need a pee.
All right, done. Wrapping it up. All right, perfect time to hit the sub button. Support the mission. We'll see you guys next week.